Welcome to the Pressing Coverage Podcast again. I'm Mason, and in his recording studio in fabulous, fabulous Happy Valley, Pennsylvania, is Max Wiener. And today we are joined by two newcomers of the podcast. I'm here on my line with Dean, and then Max on your line is John. So say hi to the listeners, guys.
What's going on? It's good to be here finally. Should have happened a while ago, but long at last, he dragged me out here to get the show on the road.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely. Happy to join you boys, too. It's been fun to listen, and it's even funner to be on the board with you guys.
Yep, thank you guys very much for coming out. We appreciate the nice little round table we got going on today. And with our episode, we're going to give you all a nice update on what's going on in the baseball world.
So do you want to jump right on into some good old ball of bases, Max?
Definitely. It has been a interesting year, if I can say so myself. There are some
That's
teams...
one word to use.
What a bad year.
Yeah, Mike Trout's been out. That's always bad, but... we do have three teams that nobody probably expected, except John, to be in first place of their divisions.
And on that note, there's no way I ever expected the Minnesota Twins to even be above 250, let alone above 500, let alone leading to the division. So yes. I wouldn't necessarily say that I was there either.
But, yeah, we'll see how long that lasts.
Jackie Bradley Jr. just walked. We're still alive here, boys.
Oh, okay.
So, just an update. John just found betting on sports. So, who do you got tonight, John?
So, right now, the Red Sox are down to their final out against the Phillies. I chose them to beat the Phillies tonight. And currently, it's 1-0, which is a huge upset for the Phillies if they close it out. And also, I'm watching the Giants in the Rockies game, hoping the Rockies can take down the Giants.
Up 3-1 right now. But, hey, 3-1 leads. Yeah. Gotta look out.
Yeah, man. Got to be careful with those teams from the Bay Area.
So to preface, so we do try to be as unbiased as possible in the pod, but Max and I are Texas Ranger fans. Dean is a huge Giants fan, and then John, you're a
Twins fan.
Twins fan. Okay. So fun fact about the Twins: they have a 14-20 home record, but a 20-9 record on the road.
Just doesn't make sense. There's no reason they should be good this year. Makes no sense.
But yeah, baseball's a little drunk this year, boys.
I can think of one reason why they're good. Miguel Sano.
Miguel Sano, the big black bear. Are we going to open up by talking about the Twins right now, or how's this going to go, Max?
Yeah, let's do it. So I'm going to ask you about the three teams who are in first place right now, who a little unexpected. So let's kick it off with the Twins. I'm going to ask you three. Do you think the Twins, at the end of the season, will be in first place of the Central?
No.
Also no.
Yeah, no. I mean, go to the standings. Yeah, it's two. There's just no way. Indians are right there.
The fact that the Tigers have just no hitting other than, you know, Miggy, I think they're going to stay down there. But, I mean, the Indians have to wake up at some point. I mean, just you have Kluber, you have Miller. Yes, Miller gave up, like, three home runs in the past week, but that's, an, you know, outlier, not, you know, a trend, in, at least in his career. And so, I mean, the Twins started out super hot last year as well. I mean, I would love to see the Twins do well. I just don't think this is sustainable. I think the Indians will overtake.
Anyhow, yeah, I saw him play 2 weeks ago when I was back in SoCal where I'm from, playing the Angels, and there were some good – I mean, they have some good bats. I mean, Dozier, Bauer obviously can hit the ball far. They crushed Anaheim the first time I saw them, and then they lost. So, I mean, if they can keep it up on the road and then get going at home too, they can do it, but they got to figure it out soon at home. We're really going to be overtaking them.
No, absolutely. The Twins have some great individual talent on the roster. You mentioned a few names like Joe Mauer and Brian Dozier. Right now, Miguel Sano is actually leading the American League in all-star balloting for third baseman, which I think that's really cool in its own right. But you guys have already said it. It's really weird how they're performing well right now. It's really not sustainable for a team to have to win two-thirds of their games on the road. And one stat that's really, really interesting that I learned recently, this past week they played their 60th game, and 10 of those first 60 games, they had given up more than 10 runs in. So when over once a week you're giving up 10 runs, that's you really can't expect to win any ball games like that. Their manager mentioned that it's really not good. They currently have a backup catcher who has made 5 appearances on the mound in Chris Jimenez. So, I mean, some days they're losing by 10. Yesterday they won by 13, or 2 days ago they won by 13. Today they won 6-2, so... I mean, they're really kind of just Dr. Jekyll and Mrs. Hyde out there this year. But in terms of sustaining it, I don't see them having enough depth. The Indians, they haven't been playing up to what they're capable of, but I really think that they're just too good of a team and too talented to be continually playing this way. So I really see the Twins they can stick around 500 this year. That's just absolutely great because they have a lot of young talent, and it means that they're getting great experience this year.
So even still, even if the Twins do not stay in first place, I have to think this is a fantastic step forward for the organization, who has had a lot of trouble getting back on their feet. They have tons and tons of young talent. If Buxton can eventually live up to his eventual ceiling, hopefully that's going to be amazing. They already have an amazing third baseman in Miguel Sano, and Jose Berrios is starting to show that he is that elite pitching prospect that they need in the front of that rotation. So I think this is the Twins saying that, hey, we're here and we're going to be a mainstay within Major League Baseball for years to come.
That'd be pretty dope if that was the case. I mean, yeah, that would really give me some sweet dreams tonight. Hopefully we'll see what happens over this next month or so.
Going off, so the Twins are hot. You know, we all hope that they can keep this up, but we're not sure if it's possible. So let's move on to our next team. Max, talk to me about the Rockies and how they are just crushing the NL West. And by crushing, I mean they are leading by
5-1 now, 2 in the game. Oh. Nolan Arenado, my high school boy, just doubled in 2 more runs.
Wow.
He went to my high school. Nolan Arenado did, so fun fact for y'all right there.
So at the time that we're recording this, the Rockies are winning 5-1 against the San Francisco Even Your Giants. And they're currently in the lead of the NL West by a single game ahead of the Dodgers. And so at the beginning of the year before the season started, Max and I were kind of hypothesizing, talking about how we think the Rockies, all they need is for their pitching to be just about average and that they could really take a huge step forward this year. And it's kind of shaken out that way. Wouldn't you agree, Max?
Yeah, that's honestly the final piece of the puzzle that is coming together, is that their pitching is performing a standard that their amazing offense can kind of make up for it. Honestly, all they needed was just one or two pitchers who are able to go out there and give them a quality start once or twice a week. That's really been working out for them, and I'm glad to see that the organization is finally doing well. Do I think it's sustainable? I'm really not sure. It is Colorado, so there always is that thought that, is this pitching performance is really going to last? All five of their starters have FIPS right now, which is fielding independent pitching, which is pretty much how the pitcher performs independently in the high fours and low fives, which suggests that this may not be a sustainable performance going towards the future.
But can we just take a second to acknowledge the fact that Nolan Arenado, who is arguably the most, I won't say underrated, because everyone that knows about him knows that he's very good and is a potential MVP candidate. Just like the most underappreciated gem in all of MLB, I feel, is just Nolan Arenado. And I'm so happy that his team is just finally like doing well, is in first place. And I hope this means that we're going to be able to get more primetime ESPN Colorado games, because I love watching him play. The guy is a gem to watch on defense. He's got 14 home runs in the season. Yes, it is in the Colorado ballpark, but the guy can just clear the bleachers, man. And that's, I'm so happy for him, is what I should really have just said.
The gold gloves too. He can field pretty darn impressively too. I mean, yeah. I don't care about that side.
No, absolutely. I look at Nolan Arenado as almost a five-tool player. I think I'm from Maryland originally, and you hear a lot of talk about Manny Machado throughout the league. But I look at somebody that's incredibly similar to him, if not a better player, definitely better stats throughout his career. Nolan Arenado, I mean, albeit playing in Colorado probably helps out a little bit, but I would agree. I think underrated is a good tool. I mean, people claim to know about him, but I don't think people realize that he's a 35-40 home run threat in a given year. Look at the left side of the infield between him and Trevor Story. They have one of the best, most powerful infields he got in the whole majors.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm glad Story's healthy again. He was probably a shoe-in for Rookie of the Year last year. I think he would have beaten Seager had he not gotten hurt. That's just my opinion, though.
How many homers did he have in the first few games? Was it like 6 and 4 games or something?
It was ridiculous.
Yeah. Even LeMahieu, too. And, I mean, you have guys like Blackman. It's a lot of good bats. And also, Desmond, too.
Yeah.
Oh.
Ian Desmond is back. My boy.
Mason Treen favorite.
On the season, Max, you're still going to get that back tattoo if the Rangers ever win a World Series.
No, Max agreed to that. Yeah, we all heard it.
Please. Yep. We'll see.
Look out for Nolan's brother coming up, too, Jonah. He's in the minors. Could be a double threat.
Is he also with the Rockies?
Pardon?
Is Nolan's brother Jonah also with the Rockies?
Giants, actually.
Gotcha.
Single A, last I recalled.
So let's bring it back in. So if I had to bet, I do think the Dodgers are going to probably take the division just because it's the Dodgers and they have Clayton Kershaw and Corey Seager and white hot flame Bellinger.
Be five in a row, you know. It's a big task nowadays.
But I think the Rockies are going to take one of the wild card spots. Max, what about you?
I completely agree. They are. You can't argue that their offense is one of the best in the league. Heck, Mark Reynolds is hitting 300 right now with 17 home runs, which
wow.
I guess he is playing in Coors Field half the time, but still, that's saying something right there. But I agree with you that the Dodgers are the Dodgers. They're ridiculous. They're stacked from top to bottom, and I think definitely that the Rockies do have a shot with the wild card. I think maybe a good move at the trade deadline for maybe a reliever or another starting pitcher would be a good idea for them to help them with those chances later in the season.
I'm so surprised nobody's mentioned the Diamondbacks yet, actually. They have six or seven guys in the lineup that are right around the 300 mark. Paul Goldschmidt's hitting 323 with 15 home runs, and their pitching staff is actually kind of coming together a little bit, which, again, it's another hitter-friendly environment, but they're tied with the Dodgers for second in their division right now.
They're kind of a reverse Twins. They're 26-9 at home, but they're 15-17 on the road. They can get that fixed. They could be well ahead of everyone else.
Yeah. It's also worth noting, though, that they have been incredibly hot lately, too. So I think looking at it online, they've won 8 of their last 9. So thinking about where they lie right now, that they are also an incredibly hot team. So I think ultimately it's going to really look at who can beat up on each other the most in this division going forward and looking at the matchups. Because ultimately, when you look at the big series in like August and September, that when there's a game or two between these guys, thinking about who's going to be able to beat who is going to be really big. If the Diamondbacks get a series at home against the Dodgers, that might be a big difference maker versus if the Diamondbacks are going out to like San Francisco and can't close out on the road out there.
That's true.
Sure. With LA too, I mean, you think of, I mean, Rich Hill kind of having an on and off year too. That can be kind of a liability there too. Plus lefties too in the NL West. There's so many lefties and LA's had trouble with them in the past hitting against lefties. So, I mean, it's going to be close for sure. Mm-hmm. My gut does kind of say that LA finds a way. I mean, they always seem to kind of turn it on second half of the year, it seems. But it could be very close.
It's tough with Clayton Kershaw leading your staff too. I mean, I wouldn't bet against Clayton Kershaw on any night of the year.
And keep in mind too, he was gone for about, 2 months last year, and they still won the division pretty comfortably. I mean, if he's there all throughout, I mean, it's theirs to lose.
Yeah, and so, but I will say this about the Diamondbacks. Max, what team does AJ Pollock play for?
I would think the Diamondbacks is the correct answer.
It is, and so for that reason and that reason alone, I think the Diamondbacks are winning the World Series this year. I'm totally kidding when I say that, but
his perfect face.
AJ Pollock is the sexiest man in the MLB. I'll stand by that.
But what about Ian Desmond and Cole Hamels?
Okay, well, Cole Hamels with shaved his beard and got his clean cut is a soft number 2. Ian Desmond, soft number 4, right behind Chris Bryant.
Mustard has to be up there too. He used to be.
Yeah, he's gotten kind of pudgy. Anyways, now that we're on MLB's most eligible bachelor. Anyways, but yeah, so I think the NL wild card will finish out to be Rockies and Diamondbacks take those two spots. In which order, I don't know, because they're only one game apart right now. But I think that's pretty safe to say, because this will go on to our next team. I think the Cubs are still going to win the NL Central. I think they'll find a way, because we still have a long ways to go till the end of the season. The Brewers are currently in first place of the NL Central. I'm going to be honest, guys. I had no idea that they were in first place. I thought they had kind of dropped off since, but apparently they have not. So does anybody want to fill me in on what's been happening with the Brew Crew?
I mean, the entire division's been pretty bad compared to previous years this year. I mean, they're the only team. Well, the Cubs are actually they're the only team above 500 in the whole entire NL Central. So I mean, it's more not that they're playing great. They're 3 games over. It's more of the whole entire division's been pretty weak as a whole, which is surprising considering it was the best one in baseball. You know, like 2 years ago or just recently.
Yeah.
You know, Cardinals are under Pirates, like you were saying earlier to me, Mason, they've been kind of a letdown this year. I don't know what happened to them. The Reds, too, they were flirting the top for a while, but now they're way down on the bottom. But then again, 5 teams in 5 games of each other. So, I mean, it's up for grabs.
Yeah. Baseball's drunk for sure. Max, what about you? What are your thoughts?
So it's really interesting. I think that the Brewers are just a team that knows their identity and has just been running with it. So they had a great acquisition with Eric Thames, who he's kind of cooled off since the beginning of the year, but he's still doing fantastic. 17 home runs on the year. Travis Shaw, getting him from the Red Sox, I think was a huge steal. He has been fantastic at the hot corner for them. They've also started to bring up some great prospects. Fan favorite, Lewis Brinson, has come up. He has not started off that great, but he is going to be their center fielder of the future. Also, pitching
prospect. And by fan favorite, Max means his favorite.
Lewis, in my heart, Lewis. Forever. but also, Josh Hader, their top pitcher.
Ooh, prospect. Josh Hader!
John, you want to talk about him? I know you love him.
Yeah, I played against Josh Hader throughout high school. So, Josh Hader Nation has not gotten a haircut since high school, so you got to love the moxie on that.
Wow, we just have a ton of high school heroes in this podcast, apparently.
Oh my gosh, it's the absolute best. So, when people tune in, they know that they're getting the best opinions out there.
Absolutely.
So, Josh Hader, played against him in high school. Little backstory. Okay. Was not slated to play college baseball except for the community college down the street from us, which, although Maryland Junior College of Baseball is pretty solid, you're not seeing too many guys go straight out of the draft out of it. So, senior year for Josh Hader, comes out of the gate, throws three straight no-hitters for his high school team.
Oh.
Ends up having a fantastic senior season, was sitting between 84 and 87 miles an hour on the gun at that point, probably. Never saw him throw probably harder than that at that point in time, but he's a fantastic pitcher. Orioles burned, I believe, and not burned, obviously, but they used a 19th round pick on him, I believe, maybe a 20th round pick. And he ended up signing, decided not to play at Anne Arundel Community College, signed with the Orioles. We were all pretty surprised by it, but we were pretty stoked. And he gained 8 to 10 miles on his fastball within the first year in the minors, and he hasn't turned back since. So what I'm interested to see him, well, one, if they're going to use him, if they're going to try to use him out of the starting gate, or if they're going to mix him into the bullpen a little bit. I could see him being a very dangerous asset in the bullpen, just because he's a fastball slider guy and he throws kind of like a low three quarters. Imagine kind of a Chris Sale type pitcher. So if they use him as a starting pitcher and he's able to command more than two pitches, I think he could be very dangerous, especially with a lefty heavy AL or the left-handed heavy NL Central right now. But if he's just a relief guy, I think he could be a definite wild card for the Brewers right now, who have a solid staff, but could definitely be a little bit better with how well they're contending right now.
So thanks for all the takes, guys. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have totally just, other than like the Cubs and kind of the Cardinals at the beginning of the year, I've kind of fallen off with that division. And so now let's move on to the teams that other teams in first. Just we'll talk real briefly about them. That are in first that we kind of expected to be there. The Nats are in first place. They're back. Bryce Harper's looking hot again. His coif hair has never been better.
That fight with all the hair flying around.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
He looks like Pidgeotto.
Yes, a little bit. His helmet throws are as not straight as ever, but that's okay.
It was a ruse. He wasn't trying to throw it at him.
But yeah, so like they're cruising along just fine. The Astros look like the new overlords of planet Earth.
We have liftoff.
But call me a hater. Call me a hater. That's fine. I don't think they're gonna win the World Series this year. I'm still a little skeptical of their starting rotation. Their lineup, I have no doubts with their lineup. I think their lineup's going to cause a lot of, you know, a lot of hell for whoever has to pitch against them. But I don't know in the postseason after you've played 162 games if their rotation is going to be able to hold up and become really reliable down that stretch in the postseason. But you know, I could be proven wrong.
But they do have the prospect depth to go out at the deadline and
exactly.
Be able to get one or two starting pitchers, which I would put a lot of money on them doing. I think it's too early to figure out what pitchers there's going to be, but they can definitely do something very similar to what the Rangers did for Cole Hamels and find another guy at the top of the rotation to be that rock-solid starter for them.
I think they're going to go after Stroman.
Stroman. So are you thinking that the Blue Jays are going to be sellers and not buyers at this point?
I think they're going to be sellers. They're too old. I think they're too old, and it sucks that because they're not a bad team right now. They've really heated up, but they play in the toughest division in baseball, and so that's the thing. I think they're going to look at the Yankees, the Red Sox, and the Rays, and they're going to be like, these guys are all on the come up. They're all for the most part young, especially the Yankees, just in terms of star power. And I think they're going to realize, you know, we have Jose Bautista and Marcus Stroman and Josh Donaldson, that Viking douchebag haircut. I think they're just going to go into sell mode, try to build for the future.
No, not a bad idea. I can definitely see it. A couple of years ago, too, especially how they kind of went for it all when they acquired Donaldson and Troy Tulowitzki, and they even had David Price for a while. So, yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. And the Yankees, I mean, Max, do you have anything to say other than Aaron Judge is a Terminator?
I'll rise for the Judge. That's really all you can say. And then they're, considering how good they're already performing when their top prospects aren't even close to coming up yet, guys like Gleyber Torres, I'm scared for the future of our Yankees overlords because that's what's coming.
Did you see the home run he hit that cleared the bleachers on, I think it was Sunday?
It's beautiful.
Never seen that.
That thing's still going.
God, yeah.
Guys, we're rooting for the Yankees
tonight.
Third
is over Fort Worth right now. I just saw it cross.
We're rooting for the Yankees tonight, okay?
I understand if there's money involved, I understand. But, gosh, you know, it's so hard to believe that the Yankees are I feel like everyone is kind of in agreement that they're about a year ahead of schedule in terms of how good they are. Because, you know, I don't know anybody that would think they were going to be this good this soon.
Yeah, a lot of guys have stepped up for them for sure.
Yeah, but they're kind of in the same – I don't know who they're going to trust in the playoffs, though, on the mound. I mean, Tanaka has been bad this year. CC Sabathia has been to the washing machine so many times he's essentially faded. And so that leaves who? Pineda?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess. I mean, that's my response to Mike Pineda going and pitching in a playoff series, I guess. How do you guys feel about anything?
I don't know. They have offense, but yeah, it's tough.
It's the playoffs. It's anybody's game. I don't know. I would trust CC. He does have the experience. He was a lot.
Yeah, but like he's like got like 200,000 miles on him.
Yeah, but he's doing. I mean, if their staff right now is actually one of the better staffs in the American League right now, their overall the ERA is 3.58. They have 34 quality starts, which is pretty solid. They got a decent bullpen with Patanta still in it. I haven't heard much about Luis Severino this year, but apparently he's leading. He has a 2.75 ERA.
Yeah,
I guess he's one of their young guns that's also just outperforming himself right now.
Yeah. Well, NCC is hurt right now, so he has a hamstring injury. And the guy's 36 years old, too. I mean, it's like that's got to take a toll on him at some point.
I mean,
to your point, Mason.
We are so – it's hard not to overreact because we are still so far away from the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure the Yankees will get something at the trade deadline. I don't know. I typically look at the glass half empty when it comes to teams at the start just because I've just been high on them before and I've just gotten burned by it. But it'll be a very fun season. I'm really interested to see who – emerges from like kind of the huge muck of just mediocrity that is kind of the half of the MLB right now, probably more than half right now. But there are a ton of teams that are just right in between the 30 win and 32 losses range right now, and it'll be interesting to see who's going to pull it out at the end of the season to clinch the wild cards.
Keep an eye on Anna when Trout comes back. I could see them maybe turning it around, given how they played without him
the
last few weeks. And I mean, even teams like, you never know, the Mets. If they get healthy, I mean, you never know what can happen there. Last year, they kind of turned
it
off.
Anything is possible.
You just got to believe.
You just got to believe.
As they say out there.
So now that we've talked about some of how the teams are doing, let's shift focuses to some of the individual performances going on around the league. So let's discuss some of our early bets for who's going to win the major awards at the end of the season. So let's start out with the Rookie of the Year. I think this will be a short discussion, I feel like.
Yeah, well, I think we all agree on who's looking at it for the AL right now, given the talk we just had about Aaron Judge.
Yeah.
Are there any other rookies in the American League that you guys are looking at right now?
Oh, well, I know Max has one.
If it's your thinking, he's not rookie eligible.
I know he's not by three at-bats, which breaks our heart.
Well, I do have somebody else, though.
I figured you did.
Fire away.
Andrew Benintendi.
Of course.
He hit me a foul ball last year, actually.
Oh, wow. Really? I'm really jealous.
Yeah,
he's rookie eligible by, I think, one at bat or something ridiculous like that. He would be the consensus rookie of the year if it wasn't for Aaron Judge. Well, I guess you could also say Aaron Judge is in the discussion for MVP right now, but that's...
He probably is, yeah.
Seriously, he is.
That's for a few minutes from now.
Yeah, AL rookie of the year, you won't hear any argument from me. I think it is going to be the judge, the jury, the executioner.
Sentenced.
I do like Benintendi, though. He's done really well in the outfield this year for the Red Sox. He's started to heat up more. He had a walk-off a couple days ago. He's a dynamic playmaker out in left field, but yeah, I mean, how can you beat the narrative of just the judge this year? And I think he does kind of have an unfair advantage of playing for the Yankees, which I think kind of just inflates his story even more, for better or for worse. But he's also, His OPS is ridiculous. His OPS, is it still over 1.1?
Probably.
Yes, it's. Yeah, it is. It's like 1.146 or something.
Yeah, but
crazy.
Yeah, I mean the NL is much, much tighter for me. What about you guys? Who do you guys have?
I think Bellinger has to be the front runner.
I 100% agree.
Going back to what Max said earlier about the Rockies pitcher, Senzatella, I guess that's how you pronounce it.
Antonio?
If the Rockies make a run and he's still leading the staff, he already has 8 wins on this side of the half. If he goes in the All-Star break with 10 or 11 wins and the Rockies continue to be a contender, it's going to really be interesting out in the NL West who's a bigger team leader. If the Dodgers end up having a stronger second half, I think we can kind of project that it might be because of Cody Bellinger's play. If the Rockies are stepping up, it might be because of how Antonio's pitching for him, too. So I think that really might boil down a lot with the way that division race is shaking out.
I think something else to consider, though, is that the stat might have changed since it has been a few days, but that Cody Bellinger, since being called up, which was in late April, has the same number of home runs in that time span as Aaron Judge.
Pretty good. Uh-oh. Pretty, pretty good.
So what would have been the difference if he was called at the beginning of the year, which probably the only reason he wasn't was because of just stupid contract decisions, which is crazy that the Dodgers care about that since they have endless bottomless pockets. But I think the average fan doesn't recognize that he is on the same trajectory, just start a little later than Aaron Judge.
An exciting time with the youth in baseball right now.
You were talking earlier about New York's starting rotation and how it's one of the better ones so far. The Yankees have 3 pitchers on ESPN's Cy Young predictor in the top 10. CeCe Sabathia is at number 8. Mike Pineda is at number 9. And then Luis Severino is at 10. That's hilarious. If you told me that CeCe Sabathia would be in Cy Young talks at the end of last year, I would have probably just laughed in your face and then walked away. So that's hilarious. I mean, I still don't know how sustainable this is, but hey, good for the Yankees. So now that we've done with Rookie of the Year, who do you guys think is going to take home the Cy Young this year for AL and NL?
Well, right now it's really interesting, in my opinion, looking at the stat lines right now. It's also cool to see that Dallas Keuchel's having another really good year as a former Cy Young winner on his own.
Is it, though? Is it cool?
I don't know. I look at Dallas Keuchel. He was a low-round pick. I remember watching him in college at Arkansas, I really respect pitchers that aren't on paper. You think that they might be a number 3 or number 4 guy, and you just go out there and see a guy shove. That being said, it's really fun to also see somebody like Chris Sale go out there and have a slider that can untie your shoes for you. So yeah. I think, again, that really boils down to team success this year. I know in recent years we've really looked at some of the sabermetrics to make this decision, mainly looking at you, Felix Hernandez. But I really think this year it's going to really correlate well with what teams are having great years. I think the two front runners are Chris Sale and Dallas Keuchel. Dark horse, in my opinion, if the Twins keep it up. Irvin Santana is looking really well, too.
I wouldn't mind some black magic. I wouldn't mind some black magic at all.
Yeah, but again, I think that Cy Young this year in the American League, at least, is really going to correlate with team success. What do you guys think?
That's fair. Yeah, I agree with that a lot. I think if the Astros stay the way they are and just go through everyone in their way, and Dallas Keuchel's the best pitcher on that team, I think the narrative kind of gets him that, even though in baseball it is typically a less narrative-driven sport than, say, basketball MVP or football is. But yeah, I think it's going to be Chris Sale. I really do. I think he's going to come out. I think he's going to want this Cy Young more than he's wanted really anyone before. I think he's going to try really hard down the stretch. Also because he's with a new team and he's, in a position to actually make the playoffs, pretty safely. This year, assuming that they don't collapse or anything. And in the NL, I mean, how can you bet against the king? It's got to be Kershaw, right?
Mm-hmm. I think, though, I do feel like if Scherzer keeps it up, I think he has just as much of a fight in it with Kershaw, because he is also having a fantastic season.
Yeah,
he actually
absolutely
has a higher WAR right now when compared to Clayton Kershaw.
Yeah, no, and he struck out a lot more hitters than Clayton, too. And I think it's really interesting, too, to see Scherzer on such a good pitching staff right now still able to stand out as well as he does, which in some situations helps, in some situations hurts. I think it definitely has helped Clayton Kershaw in the past, because there really haven't been many guys on the Dodgers that have been bona fide number 2 starters on staff. That, and he's just an absolutely absurd pitcher, too.
Yeah. One thing, though, think about who Kershaw's going against in the NL West opposed to Scherzer in the NL East. It's almost 9 day. So just a fact to consider. I mean, there's tougher opponents in Kershaw's division than there is in Scherzer's, but at the end of the day. But they're both, you know, great arms. Either one could easily take it home, depending on what happens. And, you know, team narratives could kind of factor into that, too, honestly.
And honestly, with how elite both these guys are, it could honestly come down to one bad start being the deciding factor. Since their ERAs are so low, if one of them were to, say, to give up 7 runs in a game, that would inflate their ERA when compared to the person they're going against. So I think that would be interesting. Who would be
really serious elite question here. Serious question here. Have either of them ever given up that many runs in a start? I'm actually curious here. I feel like Clayton Kershaw doesn't let himself sleep tonight if he gives up more than 2 runs in a start. Max Scherzer definitely doesn't sleep anyway. The man's crazy. So
I think I remember, because ESPN has a field day when one of them has a bad day. So I think Kershaw, I remember
Giants last month, Posey home went off, and I remember it was like one of his last losses that he had.
Yeah. No, I know. I just know that Clayton, I think he went to a 3-0 count maybe once or twice all of last season. Like, it's amazing how that man's able to keep the ball in the zone.
Yeah. Granted, he was hurt for a lot last year too, but yeah.
The highest, he's given up 4 earned runs. That's the highest he's given up this season. It was
to the Cubs.
It was against the Cubs.
The one I was thinking about, the Giants, was 3. It's worse.
He only pitched 4 innings, and he gave up 4 earned runs. And he gave up 3 home runs in that start. Dang. That was probably his worst start of arguably the last, 2-3 years.
Both at home too.
Yeah, so.
Oh man, poor guy.
Oh yeah, and poor Clayton Kershaw, only just arguably top 3 lefty of all time. But yeah, I'm pretty, it's hard for me to bet against Kershaw. I think he's just going to take it home again if he's healthy this entire year.
Just the postseason, man. This is one Achilles heel. He's got to overcome those demons.
Okay, we're going to put a pin in this. I truly believe that is just a case of being unlucky, because he pitched a 2-hit game and lost.
Well, I mean, yeah, I give you that in 13. That was just bad luck. But some of the closeout games he's been in, the game sixes, have been a little bit more.
Does anybody agree with me or agree with
you? No, I agree with you on that game alone right there.
I know, but
the Cardinals the next year in game one you can't do that.
His postseason ERA, I believe, is hovering right around 2-point-something, which is not bad for postseason, because especially when it's at the end of the year, and I'm sure that is inflated because he did have one bad game. But
I'll give you this: he gives up the wrong kind of, or he gives up the runs at the very inopportune times.
That's fair.
He has 5 good innings, then he'll have 1 bad inning, and that plagues his whole entire playoff.
It's the playoffs; you gotta be perfect. And guys like Madison Bumgarner, they go out there and be perfect. And when you are the stud, you're the ace. You gotta go in the playoffs with. Giving up 1 run is 1 run too many, in my opinion.
It's tough. Yeah, no, you got a good point there. I mean, the postseason, we've seen it in the past few years, how tight some of the games can really become. We saw it when the Royals almost were able to pull it out against the Giants when Bumgarner was throwing. We saw it the next year when the Royals were able to take it, how just having a clutch pitching staff really isn't enough, because it's likely the fact that the team across the field from you is there for the same reason as you.
Yeah, I mean
when's the last time that a team won the World Series and their ace wasn't dialed in start to end?
I'm trying to think, looking back the past few years.
Was pretty solid last year. I mean, all throughout. The bullpen gave him some trouble at times, obviously. You know, Chapman was a little shaky. You know, in 15, the Royals had, who was it, not Perez?
They had Cueto.
I mean, he was shaky, but it was,
They had Danny Duffy pitching really well from them. Wade Davis was coming out of the pen.
Yeah, Yordan.
Yeah, Ventura. He was.
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace, Yordan.
Seriously. Yeah. He was incredible.
I remember in 2013, the Red Sox, they didn't necessarily have an ace staff, but their lineup, I swear, every guy that came to the plate would see 5 or 6 pitches, and they would just wear teams out.
You're right. They had a lot of comebacks against Detroit and all that. I'll give you that.
Yeah.
They
were probably it was a fun postseason.
Yeah.
All right. So now that we've talked about the Cy Young, let's move on to the MVP award. So let's start with the NL. Who is everyone's pick?
Give me Bryce Harpe.
Really? Bryce, baby. Why so?
I think he's, I mean, he's just, he's got a return to form. He's got that charisma. Everyone's always watching him. You know, he just, also, you know, he's gotten more attention because he did have that one fight, but not just because of the fight and the attention that he gets. You know, he's playing phenomenally recently. He was a little bit down, I think, for one series, but he's come back pretty well. And, you know, he's getting back to being one of the top players in baseball. And for me, it's kind of like Mike Trout. Like, you give it to Mike Trout until he gives you a reason not to give it to him. And that's how I am in the NL. I give it to Bryce until he gives me a reason not to give it to him.
Well, if I can cut in there really quickly, I don't even know if Bryce is playing the best on his team right now. Look at Ryan. Yeah, Ryan Zimmerman right now is challenging for the Triple Crown right now.
I was going to say.
I mean, and Mr. Murphy always has a spot in my heart.
I love Daniel Murphy.
Oh, my gosh. I would love for him to be on my team, but...
Modern-day Wade Boggs. He just throws the hands.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Wade Boggs. Had to throw it in there at some point.
I don't know how consistent Zimmerman can be, but I know that Bryce can keep this going over a season. Yeah. So that's why I give it to him. Because we still have, what, 100 games left?
Yeah, 100 on the dot, essentially, for some teams.
Yeah.
I'll say somebody on the Nats gets it. I don't know who it'll be. It could even be Scherzer if he turns it on.
We have five potential MVP candidates on the Nationals. It's
ridiculous.
They are stacked. But I honestly, as we were talking about earlier, I think it's going to come down to what team really shows up near the end of the season. Personally, it's weird to call him an underdog candidate, but I think Paul Goldschmidt might be the one
Paul Goldschmidt?
Yep, he is top three right now in the NML, in the whole league in RBI. He's number two in runs. He's top 15 in home runs. He has an offensive war of almost 30. He is having a fantastic year. They are most valuable player award. Who is the most valuable player in that lineup? Could you tell me that the Diamondbacks lineup would be the same if Paul Goldschmidt was not in it?
It's a great way to look at it.
But at the same time, AJ Pollock is on that team.
So I agree, but they aren't the same without Pollock.
You're not wrong. And I think that there's been a very, very large part of the MLB fan base that is kind of – I feel like that Paul Goldschmidt is the first base version of Nolan Arenado, and by that I mean probably the most underappreciated player at his position. And that's saying something considering how damn good Paul Goldschmidt is.
Don't forget Jake Lamb, too.
Gotta love Lamb Chop. Gosh, I'm falling in love with the Diamondbacks over here, Max.
Pest at times, but it's all right.
But yeah, I mean, if Goldie won the MVP, I would not be shocked at all. I don't think anybody should be shocked because Goldie's been good for a long time, and it's about dang time he's gotten some recognition for the hard work he's put in.
All right, so AL, so I'm going to start this off by saying I do not think Aaron Judge is going to win the AL MVP because if you watch ESPN, you read a bunch of articles, people think Aaron Judge is going to win the MVP. Does somebody want to prove me wrong, or do you guys all agree with that?
Well, I would say he is the MVP of the league in terms of getting fans to watch again. Like, he is the most entertaining player this year so far, I would say. Just in terms of, he's got the great story, he's like the second coming of Jeter, but he's in Terminator form. And he's helping the game of baseball a lot, but in terms of, like, giving him the MVP, I'm not sure.
Could fans influence that call, though? I mean, hey, make baseball fun again.
That's true.
I'm just saying, I mean, it can happen. The public, I guess, opinion can always have some influence in that. But I don't think he should be the MVP. He's got to be more.
I don't know about that. Going back to Max's argument about Paul Goldschmidt, I don't know if the Yankees lineup is the same without Aaron Judge in the middle of it. And if you're looking at it on paper, too, Aaron Judge is also a Triple Crown candidate as much as anybody in the league. What really impresses me is that he's leading the league in home runs and is second in the American League in average. Yeah, if I may compare it to another heavy-hitting home run hitter down south, Joey Gallo is also up there with the home run leaders, but he's still hitting below the Mendoza line. So it's very rare that you can get a hitter that can have their cake and eat it, too, when it comes to swinging the bat hard.
How dare you say anything bad about Joey?
I love watching Joey Gallo, but he's hitting 196 right now, I think.
I think he's hitting 208, I believe, is what it was.
Okay, so he's getting it up a little bit, but it's still not hitting 338 like Aaron Judge.
You're not wrong.
I'm just very – it's very interesting for me to see somebody not fall off yet with their – now that they're being exposed to American – like, not even Major League hitting, American League pitching, too. So I'm very curious just to see how this season continues to go for the Yankees, because they're a team that did come out of nowhere. They have a young player that's playing out of his mind right now. If this weren't a team in New York City, I don't think we'd have the conversations about is this fan vote giving overhyping him right now. I really think that this is somebody that we can look at and be very impressed with, and it's going to be really interesting over the next few months to see if he falls off at all, because he's at a scorching pace right now.
Yeah. I mean, again, I kind of already said who my AL MVP is. I just, even though he is out for 6 weeks, I have to give it to Trout because he has not given me a reason to not think he's not the best player in baseball. I mean,
so, but is he the most valuable player right now?
Like, has anybody ever gone out 6 weeks and gotten the MVP award?
Oh, I'm sure there's been someone that has missed.
I can't think of anyone as in the modern era.
But I mean, just the thing is, like, and also let's not forget, he was having his best start to the season ever when he got hurt.
That is fair.
And so, yeah, if he comes back and he stays on that pace, because I would say that he's more valuable on the base path than Aaron Judge is. So you have all those statistics that he's going to rack up that Judge won't. Yeah, I think Judge is good as a good defensive player, but he's not Mike Trout.
He's not, okay.
I mean, yeah, that's fair. And so you could honestly say that other than maybe Billy Hamilton, he's the best defensive center fielder in the league. So if
Mike Trout comes back and leads his team to some sort of playoff berth, I 100% agree with you. I just don't think that the media will – I feel like counting stats, which I think they shouldn't be 100% of the choice. I feel like they sometimes are a factoring decision. And no matter what pace he plays at, being gone for 6 weeks, he's not going to have the counting stats as somebody like Aaron Judge, who is playing potentially 162 games.
It's like Kershaw last year being gone. He wasn't really considered for any trophies or any awards because of his absence.
But let's not forget, though, we have seen Mike Trout play like this for a 162-game stretch before. We have never seen Aaron Judge play like this for a 162-game stretch before. So if he's able to stay this hot and play the way that he is, then yes, I think he will be MVP. I don't think he's going to, because the way I think the season will shake out is I think Judge is going to regress. I think he has to. Law of averages.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when Mike Trout comes back, he's going to come back with a vengeance. And I think he's going to come in kind of like a meteor and secure back, you know, his hands around the MVP award.
So if Bumgarner, though, but to your point, if Bumgarner came back and was brilliant, being on a bad team, would that give him a chance of, you know, getting the award by that logic, too? Because, I mean, he had a pretty good start, didn't get the run support at the beginning. Well, I mean, it's the same kind of thing. If, you know, someone's gone and then they come back.
Well, to connect what Max was saying with what Mason was saying, if Bumgarner were to come back and haul the Giants into a playoff berth, that'd be great.
But they can't, they're too far.
20 games under 500, though, which is tough. I agree with what you're saying, Mason. I'm really interested to see if Judge can keep this up and if he regresses, because we're comparing it to nothing. And in my opinion, I'm going to be very surprised if he's able to right now. I think I can offer the perfect comparison for what we're describing here, though. My homeboy Joe Mauer actually missed the entire first month of the season in 2009 when he won the American League MVP. He only finished with 28 home runs, around 90 RBIs, and he won the batting championship, which is great. But the big thing was that, one, when he came back, like you were saying, Mason, he picked up right where he left off the year before and showed that he was able to play to the level that he had in the past. And two, he took his team to the playoffs. He missed the whole first month of the season. The team was mediocre at that point. But when he came back and got involved with the team again, he showed to be a leader and was somebody that could take the team into the postseason. So if Mike Trout's able to come back, it's a similar layoff period if you look at both years. If Mike Trout's able to come back from his injury, come back, hit the ground running, and the Angels are able to pick up their case and just, you know what I mean, head straight to the stars, then I think it's really hard to say, you know what, like, how can we give the guy the MVP? At this rate, the only guy that I could see possibly challenging for it would be if Aaron Judge continues his pace, and the Yankees are able to keep it up at this point. But if Aaron Judge hits a slump and then somebody else steps up in the Yankees lineup, it's going to get kind of murky.
Yeah. Because I have one question for you guys. Who's the best player in baseball?
Talent wise, Mike Trout.
It's Mike Trout.
Athletically speaking, yeah.
And that's just where I'm coming from mostly, is that I've seen him play like this for, what, 3-4 years now. So
it's Trout or Kershaw, I think, honestly, just talent wise, pure talent wise.
That's fair. That's good. They're both in my top three for sure.
All right. Do you guys have anything else to say about the AL MVP?
I'm hoping Miguel Sano gets it, but yeah.
Ooh, that'd be hot. That's really a hot obvious take right there.
I mean, yeah, I think that's just really obvious answer.
It's tough to be gone mid-season and come back, opposed to being gone at the very beginning of the year. I feel like the perception is different just for that. That's what I'm concerned about.
But the thing is, I think this is an okay time to be gone because it's not even before the All-Star game. And then after the All-Star game, I think, is when everyone starts getting back into baseball mode because basketball just ended.
Trade deadline, they watch the races.
Exactly. And so that's when it really matters. That's when everyone pays attention to the race. So in terms of MVP, the MVP of my heart will always and forever be Mr. Adrian Beltre. Age is like fine wine. That's all I had to say.
Not Pudge?
Well, Pudge doesn't play anymore. So.
But all time, though, I'm just saying.
Well, Adrian Beltre's the captain. That's all I've got to say.
Fair enough.
Pudge is the GOAT. Adrian Beltre's the captain. Moving on. So now we're going to be talking about who's been the most disappointing in baseball this year.
I think the Giants have to be the front runner, honestly, not being biased.
They're not my number one.
They were expected to be, what, one of the top, like, five, or not five, top ten contenders to be back in the playoffs, and, I mean, they've just totally crapped the bed. I mean,
well, it is an odd year, Dean.
But last year, the whole trend was broken anyways.
Well, that was...
I mean, Mad Bum getting hurt is a big part of it, but, I mean, just the offense has just been absolutely abysmal. They cannot get any runs out of their outfield. I mean, it's like one of the all-time worst outfields we've seen in baseball history. So, I mean, they had the talent, which is why it's so befuddling they've been doing this. But, I mean, you're down, what, 8-1 to the Rockies right now. You got swept by the Royals at home, who were, in my opinion, the worst team offensively in baseball. I mean, considering how, you know, good this team played last year in the first half, I think it has to be the front runner. I mean, there's other teams that are certainly behind them that are not far off, but I think they have to be number one.
Dean, does it pain you to say that as a Giants fan?
It does. I mean, it could be worse for sure, but I mean, it's unfortunate still.
So all you listeners know that Dean is not coming from a place of malice when he says this. He's truly coming from a place of disappointment, and he believes this. For me, I think it's the Mariners, honestly. I thought they were going to make a push to win the division this year. They retooled their offense. They put a lot of money into their pitchers, into starting pitching. And they've just gotten hurt, and they've crumbled. And I have felt bad for them because there's a certain point where you get, where you do feel bad for a team. Like when Robinson Cano got hurt this season, I was like, I just feel bad for them. Even though they are a rival of my favorite team, I did kind of take pity on them. Max, what about you?
So, Mason, you're not going to like what I'm going to say. I think our Texas Rangers are the most disappointing right now.
I'm going to disagree with you. I'm going to disagree with you.
Can I finish my thought?
You go for it.
So. You win the AL West last season. Nobody saw it coming. Everyone says you're fake. You had a negative amount of runs scored compared to runs given up. Come out this year. We're very streaky. We are under 500 right now. Third place. Yes, we are in the same division as the Astros. But this year was a great opportunity to say, hey, you were wrong. We are actually a great team, and we are not playing like one right now.
Well... Okay, there is most disappointing and there is most frustrating. I think everyone and their mother thought the Astros were going to be good this year, and they have been good. I don't think a lot of people thought the Rangers would really win the division. I think people thought they might win the wild card, other than your favorite homer here.
I had him too. Division.
But they are kind of on the older side, and the thing is they're getting a lot of their contribution in winning games from people you'd never think. Like, you're getting guys like Jared Hoying, you know, being one hit away from hitting the cycle. You're getting Joey Gallo, who had a horrible strikeout rate last year, just hit bombs this year. You're having Delino DeShields refine himself this year. So, yes, they are a very frustrating and streaky team to watch. I don't think they're that disappointing, yes, because they are the reigning division champions. I don't think the expectations were very high for them outside of, you know, the fans in Arlington.
I think the problem is the bullpen. It was just so bad for the first few weeks, and you got rid of Dyson now.
And well, when you said the bullpen, you mean Sam Dyson.
But there were other folks who were a little shaky at times.
Jeffress was tough.
Jeffress was tough indeed.
Yeah.
I think getting rid of him has probably been just good to refocus and think, okay, that piece is gone.
Sam Dyson did cost us seven games. He cost us seven games this season.
It means you flip that over, and you're maybe, what, five, six games back?
Yeah,
but that's also a what if. There's
a big what if.
Yeah, what if the Rangers got the third out in the World Series?
Max, shut up! I know. Shut up!
And it hurt to say, but it's still true.
God,
and there's the line.
All right, John, what is your?
I'm shocked that nobody's mentioned the Chicago Cubs yet. Absolute World Series.
By their own standard, they are, by their own metric.
But still, they're below 500 right now. They had three guys that were top of the rotation starters in the rotation last year. And right now, they only have one starter in their starting rotation that has an ERA underneath four. Kyle Hendricks, whose ERA was sub two last year, has a 409 ERA. What's up, Jopa? And their offense, some of their bats in their offense are the worst in the league. Kyle Schwarber is still hitting underneath 200. He's been an absolute joke, and I'm a huge Schwabo fan. Anthony Rizzo and Chris Bryant, they've each chipped in 15 home runs, which is expected, but we just haven't seen it from anywhere else in their lineup. And this is coming from a year where the NL Central is not incredibly good. It's really hard for me to believe that a team was as good as they were last year to not even just be above average this coming year. They're a game below 500 still. Their pitching staff's been terrible. Their offense seems like they're just flailing around sometimes. Overall, it just seems like the team's trying to do way too much right now, which is so weird because last year, even though the they were the world champs last year, the actual world champs, not the Cleveland Cavaliers world champs, but legitimately, it's shocking to see how many players fell off after last season.
That's fair. Who watched the game last night? Any of y'all? The Cubs Mets game?
I saw Rizzo hit a home run and I turned it off.
Well, the eighth inning, they gave up, I think, 3 home runs and they lost the lead in the game eventually.
Well, yeah, they opened the Mets, right?
Yeah, in New York.
The Mets, Mets.
They've been a big letdown, too. I mean, I know.
Yeah,
they got hurt, and I know it's just something.
They're hurt all over the place. They look like Omaha Beach right now.
Oh, God.
Too soon.
Oh, man.
Oh, God. Private Ryan. Yep. But for me, I'm just, yes, they have been disappointing through this part of the season, but I'm kind of just still in the mindset that I think they're truly just, how can you not be tired from, you know, going that deep and winning in the postseason? You had to go all the way to a game 7 in extra innings to win it. And so I think that they are still kind of reeling, not reeling, but having that, you know, World Series hangover kind of thing where they're exactly. Still tired. I truly think it is the hardest thing to go back-to-back in sports. Shout out to the Penguins. Congrats to them.
First time in 20 years they did it, too.
Yeah, and so, I mean, I think that is incredibly difficult. I think they'll be fine down the stretch. We still have so much baseball left to play. Anthony Rizzo is statistically the greatest leadoff hitter of all time. He's had two leadoff appearances where he has hit leadoff home runs in both those appearances, so, you know, good for him. But, you know, I'm not too worried about it. And like we said, no one's really, you know, shown their teeth in the NL Central. Just the Brewers are only up by, what, 3 games?
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, they have been disappointing so far, but I think they'll be fine. I think the ship will be okay.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think they're going to be fine down the line, but that's kind of harping on my point. Also surprising that it's taken them this long to make us think, oh, this might be finally their time.
I agree.
So that's why they're my pick right now.
Yeah, I mean, has there been any one player that you've just been, like, disgustedly disappointed with? Anybody? Anybody want to single anyone out?
Oh, Kyle Schwarber. I'm a huge Kyle Schwarber guy, and to see him hit less than 200 makes me so sad. He's a Big Ten baseball player. Big Ten baseball has an awful history. So to see somebody come up and just be hitting the ball to the moon, winning a World Series out there playing on a torn ACL, I want this guy to continue to climb mountains, and to see him just, you know what I mean, falling all over the ground. It's not fun, guys. It's not fun.
No. Max, what about you?
I honestly think that I'm going to pick Jonathan Villar of the Brewers. He had a crazy year last year. He definitely broke out. He had 62 stolen bases and 92 runs scored. And this year he is hitting .213. He is still getting stolen bases, but he is performing nowhere near his performance this past year. I would compare it to when Gene Segura was with the Brewers. He had a similar breakout performance and regressed. I definitely think while the Brewers are doing fantastic, he was a great centerpiece in their lineup, and now he is not performing like one. And I think they would be in an even better position if he were to turn things around and actually perform.
So I think Dean and I have the exact same player in mind. Dean, do we?
Maybe.
So
now we do.
So our most disappointing player of 2017 is Pablo Sandoval.
Kung Fu Panda.
But where's the expectation in the first place?
Exactly. That's the thing.
For me, because like I was just kind of excited for him because he lost a lot of weight after that just horrible but fantastic gif of his belt just exploding into 1,000 glorious pieces after he swung. Max, you know what his WAR is right now?
Probably negative.
It is -0.8. That's wow. That blows my mind.
He also has been hurt though, so.
That plays into it. He just got put on the 10-day DL, but like he has shown this year that he cannot even make like fundamental like difficult like baseball plays at third base. Like he has been he's been platooned there with Rutledge, and Rutledge has honestly looked better. And I mean the fact that he's getting paid that much, I think also does kind of affect my view of him. Is that this could potentially be the worst contract in baseball history, guys?
Oh, it absolutely is up there.
Certainly not good, folks.
No. Dean, do you have anybody else, or you agree with
me? I'm trying to look up some stats right now.
Yeah, Dean's checking.
I had a thought, but I want to make sure that's actually... Yeah, I mean, I guess he's not awful, but Francisco Lindor, too, I thought he'd be better after he broke out so fast last year. I mean, he's hitting 258 right now. I mean, it's not bad, but I mean, I felt like it was, you know...
For Dean, one of the more. Is that what I'm saying?
I wanted more, exactly. That's not bad, but I wanted more.
Yeah.
It just came to mind, because the Indians have kind of been, you know, in the middle ground.
Yeah.
I mean, Schwarber certainly was kind of, you know, one of the ones I thought about, too. Just him, you know. But granted, he was hurt for almost all of last year.
Yeah.
So I give him some grace, you know, for that. Trying to get his foot back.
One of the players that's also close to my heart, I'd say... until really recently, like the past week, Odor has been really disappointing.
Yes.
This year, he hasn't looked right. He's been striking out and hasn't been hitting the home runs that you would expect from him. But this past week, he hit 2 home runs in a single game. So hopefully he's getting back on track. And so actually, I think he hit 3 home runs in the past week. But he seems to be picking it back up. But he has been kind of underwhelming this year. What about over? I know we talked about kind of
one more too, real fast. Johnny Cueto, he's been not what he was at all. I mean, part of this, you know, he's not getting run support too. But I mean, there's a lot of guys who were good last year. I thought that, or even they had promise, you know, on the horizon, but just haven't really showed up.
Yeah,
Matt Moore too. I mean, I thought he'd be okay this year, and he's been, you know, awful as we've seen.
Matt Moore has been dead since Tommy.
He looked great the very end of last year going into the postseason, and he just totally just dropped the ball this year.
John, did you call him the worst pitcher in baseball?
He did.
Yeah, no, I use those words.
He's been a candidate so far. I agree. 8 earned runs tonight.
No, wow.
No bueno. And that's only in, like, what, 3 innings?
So Dean, when we say together we are giant, you mean together the ERA is giant?
Precisely.
Okay, I can live with that.
Or a giant goose egg in the run department.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. We can definitely. We'll get in touch with the giant.
Or a giant debacle, or a giant.
A giant mess. Giant disappointment.
Yeah, giant earthquake next for all we know.
I'm having too much fun with this. But has there been any – real quick, has there been any players that you guys think have been really overachieving this year that you're very impressed by?
Yeah. I still think Eric Thames is really outperforming himself right now. He cooled off a little bit since the month of April, but he's still second in the National League, I think, in home runs. He has 18. He hit another one last night. And he's a big reason that the Brewers are still competing, that they're leading the division right now. They decided to let Chris Carter walk in the offseason for him, and it's really paid off for them. And I don't know, it's really cool. It's really kind of a cool Cinderella story to see how he went over to Korea, figured his swing out. People thought that, you know what, it's a career-ending move. And he came back, and he's been a premier player in the game so far.
Yeah, he was definitely the story of, like, the first, like, month of the season for sure. He took – and he's still doing well, but, like, he took the MLB by storm in the first month of the season. So good for him. Also, he's got probably the coolest set of tattoos in the MLB. I'll say it.
And a beard, too. He has a cool beard, too.
Absolutely. Max, what about you?
So my guy is, after the massive contract he signed and his abysmal performance going to the desert, my pick is Zach Greinke. He has completely bounced back from his league average performance in 2016, which for him is abysmal considering the contract he signed. So right now he has already matched his 2016 total in WAR, and we're a little over a third of the way through the season. So he has definitely bounced back. He has his second highest K through 9 right now at 10.4. So he is doing fantastic, especially in the hitter-friendly environment of Chase Field.
And for me, it's going to be my boy, Elvis Andrus. I never thought I'd ever see the day that Elvis would become the best player on the Rangers in terms of he is playing... He has had the best season of any Rangers player this year. His batting average has dropped, but he was batting around 300. He's at 292 right now. He's had 7 home runs in the year, 35 RBIs, 15 stolen bases. He's got a slugging percentage of .451, and he's got 35 RBIs, and he's scored 38 runs himself. And so, considering it's so good to see him play at this level, considering the contract that he had signed a couple years ago, and I believe that ever since Ron Washington got let go, we've really gotten to see Elvis' offense improve because of the new coaching staff, because Bannister believes that he can really wake up. He's been able to wake up Elvis's bat, because I think that Wash wanted to make Elvis the next Ron Washington, the next primarily defensive shortstop and not really focus on his offense. But then Bannister comes in, you know, gets him, re-energizes his swing, And, you know, Elvis has been tearing it up this year on at the plate. So, you know, I'm really happy for him. Max, I'm sure you concur.
I agree. It's been really nice to see his breakout these past two seasons. Ever since his debacle in Toronto, he's really turned around as a player.
Yeah, I agree. Are there any other baseball storylines you guys want to talk about?
Somebody, Avisaíl García on the White Sox, too. He's had a pretty darn good year.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, not a guy that's talked about that much, but he's, I think, fifth overall batting average. They're 343, 10 home runs, 48 RBIs. I mean, the Sox haven't done that much, you know, as a team, but he's, you know, yeah, number four in the league batting average. So, I mean, he's for the whole entire majors. So, yeah, certainly a guy to keep an eye on. I mean, the Sox, they have, I think, pieces to get good over the next few years. They get a competitive team.
Yeah.
All set, maybe including Evan Skoug.
Maybe.
It could be, you know, dangerous down the road.
I can't wait to see Moncada get called up. I'm counting Moncada the days until Moncada comes up.
Yeah.
But, yeah, do you guys have any – I talked about mine earlier, but do you guys have any trade line predictions?
I think it's still way too early to tell. While there are definitely some teams that are fading, I think that until it's a little more solidified around the All-Star break, I think it's way too early to be talking about rumors because anything's possible at this point.
I haven't heard too much chatter either about any team being particularly like thirsty for a certain prospect or two, kind of like how the White Sox were last year to get somebody from the Red Sox and how Benintendi almost ended up at the White Sox. Like, that was something you kind of heard for a couple of weeks buzz, but that was also later in the season. So I think maybe as we get into late June, people are going to start, whether it's people kind of speculating more or there's actually some talks that get leaked out about certain players going elsewhere, teams realizing that the season's up for them, so they want to start selling. I just don't think we've hit that point yet in the season where we know if teams really know if they're buyers or sellers yet.
That's fair.
Mm-hmm.
That's fair.
Fair enough.
Cool.
But yeah, you guys got anything else baseball-wise?
You got me.
Yeah, I'm all tapped out.
All right, so thank you very much, John and Dean, for joining us on the Pressing Coverage podcast. Do you guys want to throw out your Twitter handles real quick just in case anyone wants to follow you?
Sure.
Go ahead, Dean.
DWStraka, STRAKA 49. You can read my Big Ten content for now if you want. And a lot of other stuff. Some dumb sports hot takes probably thrown in there.
Hey, you know, what's...
But hey.
You know. What is
great.
What is Twitter without a dumb take?
Yeah.
Cool. My Twitter handle is at John Neseth, JONNESETH _. I really just retweet a lot of kind of like dad joke Twitter accounts, so definitely don't feel the need to subject yourself to that. But if you like laughing, you might find it on my page.
Any Barstool stuff on there?
Oh, plenty. Okay. Plenty of stooly stuff.
Well, cool.
Alrighty, guys. And if you enjoyed what you hear to do today, make sure to follow Pressing Coverage on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. On Twitter and Instagram, our tag is at Pressing Cover. And make sure to go check out the main website, pressingcoverage.com. And also, you can give us 5 stars on iTunes and follow us through there. Mason, anything else you want to say?
God bless the pod, man. God bless the pod.